In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Come, children, come. So do you remember what we talked about for the last few Sundays? More specifically, who we talked about? About our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what we talked about last Sunday? Last Sunday. That was the Sunday before. But last Sunday. That was not last Sunday. That was, I think, 2-3 Sundays ago. But last Sunday, we talked about something. About crossing ourselves, taking upon us the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and holding our fingers like this, in the name of?
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And these two fingers like this?
For
the two natures of Christ, who is fully man and fully God, and for Adam and Eve, to remind us of Adam and Eve, and all of us who are bowing down and worshiping the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you so much already about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Trinity. Where do we know so much about Jesus and about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Bible.
Did I say anything about the Bible so far?
No.
You saw my Bible in my hand, eh? But, yeah, you're right. You're right, but so far I didn't say anything about the Bible. I spoke about Jesus from the icons. Is this a Bible?
No.
Is the icon a Bible?
No.
It kind of is. Because the icon, they say that an icon is a Bible in color. They say that an icon is the Bible of the people who don't know to read. Do you know how to read?
Yes.
Yeah.
Most of you know how to read.
My sister does.
Hmm? But do you know how to read? But can you see the icon? Can you see the icon? Lenny, can you see the icon? This icon, can you see it? Of course you can. So that's like a Bible for you, because you don't know to read yet. But by seeing the icon teaches you, tells you about God. What do you want to say, Anna?
The Bibles have some of the pictures in the Bible, so then you see the Bible. It's like you're seeing the Bible.
Yes, you are right. In some of the Bibles we have icons. We have icons. So the Bible, the icons are like a Bible in color. That tell us, you know, what the Bible, what's written in the Bible. So the icons are part of the so-called tradition of the church. And the Bible is also part of the tradition of the church. Because you know what? For many years, there was no Bible. Did you know that? For many years, in the time of Adam, there was no Bible. In the time of Noah, have you heard of Noah?
Yeah.
What did Noah do?
Noah
and the ark. In the time of Noah, there was no Bible.
There were just two animals on each ship.
In the time of Noah, there was no Bible. But did Noah have a relationship with God?
Yes.
Did he believe in God?
Yes.
Did he talk to God?
Yes.
And Noah had no Bible. But he had a relationship. He had a tradition with God, and he told his children about what God revealed, what God told him. Up to the time of Moses, have you heard of Moses?
Sorry.
Hmm? Sorry. But can you tell me a few other names of people who lived before Moses in the Bible?
Hmm? Jacob.
Jacob. Who else lived before Moses in the Bible? Who else lived before Moses? So we talked about Adam and Eve, Noah. Who else? Jacob. Who else? Before Jacob.
Mark.
Hmm? Mark is in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, before Moses. Abraham. Abraham. And Isaac. And Jacob. And Sarah. And all these people, they didn't have a Bible. but they had a relationship with God. Because God spoke to these people, and then they told their children about what God told them. And then Moses finally started to write this tradition into a book. And this is how, you know, the Bible started to come into being. What do you want to say?
Jesus told them everything, and then they knew everything, and then they wrote it in the Bible what God told them.
Yes. Yes, that's how it worked. You know, God spoke to the people, and then the people later on started to write the Bible. Now, another thing that I want to tell you about the Bible, because I'm holding my Bible in my hand today, and the Bible looks like one book today, does it not? Like one big book. But I want to tell you that the Bible was not always like one book. When Moses started to write the first book of the Bible, what's the first book of the Bible? What's the first book of the Bible? Do you take
Genesis?
Genesis. Do you go to Greek school?
Yes.
What's the Greek word for beginning? What's the Greek word for beginning? Genesis. That's why in English, we call, you know, the first book of the Bible was called in Greek Genesis, and that's why in English it is Genesis. So the first book of the Bible is Genesis. So Moses started to write the first book of the Bible, and it seems that he wrote the first five books of the Bible, and then people after him wrote some other books, and in time, we ended up with 49 books of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the first part of the Bible, the first big part of the Bible, and in the Old Testament we have 49 books. And in the New Testament we have 27 books. Do you know what makes the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Because the New Testament, there's probably still working on it.
No, we are not still working on the New Testament. We are not still working on it, But so what's the difference? What makes the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament?
The Old Testament was longer?
Yes, it is longer. But that's not the main difference. The Old Testament has how many books, did I say?
49.
And the New Testament?
27.
So the Old Testament is longer, you're right, is longer than the New Testament, but that's not the main difference. It just happened to be longer.
The Old Testament is without Jesus.
You're right. That's what it is. The Old Testament tells us what happened in this relationship between God and His creation, between God and people, before God came to us, before Jesus Christ became human like us. So the Old Testament tells us everything that happened before Jesus, before the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. The New Testament tells us about Jesus Christ, what He did for us, and then the life of the early church. That's the New Testament. And next Sunday, we'll talk about the first three verses of the Bible. And I'm going to give you a homework today. Please go home, take your Bible, open it up, but a real one, not a children's Bible. A real Bible, okay? Ask your parents, mommy, daddy, I want the real Bible. I'm old enough now, I want the real stuff. And open up the Bible and read the first three verses of the book of Genesis. Okay? Three verses. It's going to take you not more than 2 minutes, at the most. Read those first three verses, because we are going to talk about those three verses next Sunday.
Isn't it like where God's the day one where God created itself?
Yeah. Now don't spoil it, Jonathan. We'll talk about it next Sunday, okay? Don't spoil it. I want to make them curious, okay, to see what's in those three verses. Okay? It's very good that you know. Yes. It is about the beginning, about the creation. But just those three verses. The Bible speaks more about the creation But those three verses, okay? Because they are related to this. What's this?
The cross.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Okay? Yes. Thank you very much. God bless you. A girl who was in first grade of school, one day during recess, instead of playing with the other children, as she usually did, went now into a corner of the school backyard. She turned her face towards the corner, and she started to cry. One of her classmates noticed her. She went, she picked up a dandelion, and she went to her. The girl who was crying wiped her tears, turned around, and they hugged each other. A police officer in New York, on a very cold and snowy night, bought a pair of shoes for a homeless man. You know the story? These are examples of who we are called to be. Another example could be a man who was riding his bike and he saw on the side of the road a bird who was hurt. He stopped, he picked it up, and he took it to a shelter for animals. I give you these examples today because, as I said, this is who God created us to be. Last Sunday, we talked about our baptism. We talked about what happened on the day of our baptism when we're immersed in water three times and brought back to life three times. We're brought back to a new life with our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately after being taken out of the water, our body was anointed with chrism. Our body was anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and we became priests and kings of God's creation. As Peter says in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The Greek word for mercy is eleison. We sing it so many times in the liturgy, Kyrie eleison. The Greek word for olive oil is eleion. The two words have the same root. When we say, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, we ask God to send his healing oil upon us and to heal us, to heal our brokenness, so that we ourselves could become healing presences for the people around us. We didn't have mercy before, but now we obtain the mercy of God. God gave us his mercy. God gave us his healing oil when we were chrismated, when our body was anointed with holy chrism, with the gift of the Holy Spirit to heal us, to make us complete, to make us one, so that we, in our turn, could heal the world around us. So that we ourselves could become priests. And what's the role of a priest? It's not to preach. It's not to serve. The role of a priest is to bring together. And he preaches, and he serves, and everything that he does, he should do for bringing the people and the whole creation into union and communion with God. Because that's what the one and eternal priest, the one and only real priest did. He brought the whole universe into union and communion with God the Father. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did, and that's what we are called to do. That's why our body was anointed with Holy Chrism in baptism. To become the anointed ones of God. To become like Christ in this world and to unify the world around us with God. To bring healing where there is brokenness. To bring joy where there is sadness. To bring peace where there is turmoil. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed when he preached for the first time in the synagogue in Nazareth, according to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, when he went on a Sabbath to the synagogue in Nazareth, he was given the book to read from the book of Isaiah. And he opened up the book and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the good news to those who are sad, to give good news to those who are struggling." That's what gospel means. Good spell, good news, evangelion. To preach the good news, to give good news to those who are struggling. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And this is the gospel reading for September 1st, for the beginning of the liturgical year in the Orthodox Church. I told you then that we will start a spiritual renewal, each and every one of us. And it is very important for us to know that we are, each and every one of us is a priest. You are priests. You have the universal priesthood. And we are called, each of us, not only me. I was ordained a priest to present Christ, but I was firstly ordained a priest when I was chrismated as a baby. And so were you. When a priest is ordained, he's taken into a dance around the holy altar table on which the gospel of Christ is enthroned. As all of us were taken into that dance around the gospel book here in the church. The holy altar stands for the kingdom of heaven. When a priest is ordained, he's called to serve liturgically and to present Christ in the holy liturgy. But all of us were taken into this dance around the gospel book on the day of our baptism and chrismation. And as the priest is called to serve in the holy altar and in the world, so all of us are called to serve in the world, because the church stands for the whole universe. And we are called in this dance to bring the whole world into union and communion with God. To proclaim the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to those who don't see the light, to be a healing presence, to bring everything into union and communion. The prayer that the priest says when he puts on the most important vestment. I'm not allowed to do any service without this vestment. Okay? If you see me doing a service without the epitrachilion, I mean, Father, you forgot something. It might happen. Okay? So when the priest puts on the epitrachelion, he says, Blessed is our God who pours down his oil upon my head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Taken from Psalm 133. Again, the oil. When I put on the vestment, I remember this verse. This verse is from Psalm 133 about the oil coming down. And the beginning of the verse, the beginning of the psalm says, the previous verse says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. That is our call as priests, to bring together in unity, to bring the brethren to dwell together in unity, and to be like the precious oil that heals, that brings everything together. Because if you have a wound, what we put on it is ointment for healing. Therefore, let us try, beloved faith, to be priests and kings of God's creation. That's why God created us in the first place, to be the link between the creation of God and God himself, to unify everything that God created with God. That's why we are the beings who have a material body and a soul, to unify the matter with the spiritual and to make them holy. We are called to be the priests and the kings of God's creation. Let us try to heal the brokenness around us. Let us try to heal the brokenness that's within us. Let us try, first of all, to offer ourselves to God to be healed ourselves. And then, if we can, let us pour the oil from within us upon those around us and to be a healing presence for our children, for our grandchildren, for our spouses, for our parents, for our co-workers, for whomever happens to be next to us and experiences a brokenness. Because by doing this, we will be like Christ, who healed and brought everything into the loving communion of God the Father in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.